morning, Mr. President.
Well, you been to church today?
No, sir. I'm up at, drove up last night to Princeton, New Jersey to see my son. It's his first weekend in school. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're just visiting.
Up there at the Ivy Leaguers, huh?
Well, I must say it's not as bad as I thought. My my son, who's a freshman, said that they have 120 freshmen signed up to work for the president and about 100 for McGovern. So I think that's not bad for Eastern Ivy League.
Yeah.
It's really good. I've been amazed. We just got here last night, coming back this afternoon, but just walking around the campus, the kids even look different.
Do they really? Good.
Yes, sir. There's really quite a different atmosphere. I'm amazed. Even from a year ago when I was taking them around to schools, I now see a difference. But maybe the polls are right, like Gallup this morning, which I find almost hard to believe. But did you see that poll on the breakdown on the Gallup youth?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure that is a big enough sample to really...
That's right. You can't tell much about it, but it means something.
Oh, it's a good... Yeah,
sure, it'll mean something to people that read it.
That's right.
To the politicians, of course. Yeah. Well, I'm glad to hear that they do look a little different, a little bit cleaner.
They look cleaner, and they seem to be more interested in... studying and
writing
on a Saturday night, but
they're
not interested in changing the world or blowing up buildings anymore. It doesn't seem that way.
It's not that bad as it was, really, let's face it. The only really sour note we have with the kids at the moment are the way those damn black athletes are handling themselves.
Incidentally, I
think they're turning off millions of Americans. What do you think?
Oh, God, I think it's the greatest thing in the world. I think that...
what do you run into? Just a minute, Chuck. I want to get some coffee. He's just opening the door.
Yes,
go ahead, that one.
Well, I was just going to say, I think that Harris said commentary Friday night, Mr. President, I think that...
what did he say?
Well, he said that it was a sad day at the Olympics and how these fellows had conducted themselves so badly it reflected on the country. And then last night there was an interview with one of the black athletes who had been suspended. And he was an obnoxious-looking son of a bitch, and he talked down on the country.
Yeah.
And that's just not the mood today, Mr. President.
Well, particularly they don't want to hear it from the blacks, because they know the blacks have had a better break than the whites.
Sure.
You know, the poor whites.
Exactly. And here's this...
Of course, thank God the kid that won yesterday behaved himself.
Well, this happened 4 years ago, as you remember, and
in Mexico City, yeah.
Yeah, and I remember the people being just mad about it. You know, it's the kind of thing that... it doesn't hurt us when that happens, because you don't stand for that. That's the kind of thing the government stands for, but you don't.
We ought to... we've seen that problems in getting... Did they ever get out that thing even on the Newsweek Europe thing yet?
That's in... I'm told. I haven't seen it, Mr. President, but it was in today's New York Daily News, plus the Jerry Green's column, plus Alsop has it. And Alsop told Lou Harris on Friday that he intended to use it. So I think we'll see it both in Alsop and...
You may have to go... You may have to, Chuck, take the offensive on that and hit it in order to really put it up center, get him talking about it, get him defending. I was thinking one thing that could be done is to get somebody who's one of the NATO European jackasses, you know, there are many of them.
Oh, sure.
Have him mail it to the whole group of all the NATO people.
Well, I can get Leo Chern to do that in a minute.
Would you get Leo, give it to Leo Chern and have him, have him, and give him a huge mailing list and say, this is shocking and I just can't support him and so forth. That'd be very good. Would you follow up on that?
Yes, sir. I certainly will. I think we'll get play out of that, Mr. President. What we were doing,
you wanted to come naturally, but now that
we didn't want to use the cables as such. We wanted to show them portions of it. That made it a little bit tough, but
if Chern will follow up, that'd be really great.
Chern will do that.
Right, but I was going to say one other thing when you're talking to the cabinet Tuesday, and I'm sure, of course, you'll hit this point that. The point of the attack is so necessary. I noticed that both the Times and the Post were, they both carried the stories and headlines to the effect Butts defends a grain deal and so forth. Well, I imagine the attack, but I don't, you know what I mean? I think probably you got to take all the defense out and just attack the hell out of the other side.
Mr. President. I saw him on the network news last night, and...
They carried it all right, huh?
They carried it fine. Well, what they did, no, they didn't carry it completely well, and it was Butts' fault. He read a statement that Buchanan wrote for him that was just a nut cutter that said all George McGovern is trying to do is kill this deal because he knows that this deal is helping the administration and the primaries in the country. And he's a negativist and
And then he answered a question, is that right?
He answered the question. But they were...
I suppose you can't blame him for that.
Yeah, it's awful hard because, you know, these fellows... this is the whole thrust of what I want to tell them Tuesday morning is that... And I've talked to Mel Laird. He's going to give some illustrations of this, but... But the whole thrust of what I want to tell them is that it doesn't do any good to defend because... Then you're just letting his... You're giving another day to his issues.
That's right.
The only thing that does any good is to attack him.
That's right.
An attack upon us is not an occasion to defend. An attack upon us is an excuse to counterattack.
Attack, that's right. If you defend, believe me, it just talks about their issue.
That's right.
And that's a tendency. Our people are so goddamn responsible. They're always defending and explaining and you know what I mean.
That's right.
And they just got to realize that doesn't matter.
Well, I think we have to sock them with that point on Tuesday. Now, Butts of all fellows understands this. When I talked to him Friday night, I talked to him several times, and he had it down absolutely pat. And his statement was first-rate. And then, of course, the reporters start the questions, and the natural inclination of somebody is to want to protect themselves when they've been attacked, and that's... But we have a way around this also. We're going to have Butts do it again on Monday and then just ignore the attacks this time. Just ignore the questions. Just go out and read a statement to the cameras.
Attack again.
Yeah, sure. Just say that it's perfectly obvious from what he said again over this weekend that he's trying to scuttle a deal, period.
I'd known what he was planning, and then I couldn't find it in the New York Times at all.
Well, the Times account, it was awful.
Well, that's Kenworthy. He's a real son of a bitch.
Yeah, the Times...
I've known him for years.
The TV last night was all right, but the Philadelphia Inquirer, which I'm reading up here, was... didn't give it much play, but it said that he charged him with trying to...
Anyway, just so they all get the point, I know that we have the point, but I know even on the White House staff, Chuck, there are a lot of them that just don't understand that. I constantly got a hammer Ehrlichman on that point. I said, now look, don't defend, don't explain, don't... Just attack him.
Well, I may shock him a little bit Tuesday, but I'm going to say that the best thing that we can do is totally ignore whatever it is they say about us. It doesn't matter.
That's right.
Just use that as an opportunity, and I can show them. I had worked yesterday getting charts made up, and I can show them how, whenever we have attacked him, on the daily polling of Semlinger, he's gone down. And he isn't at his bottom. That's perfectly clear that he's not at his bottom.
You don't think so?
No. And I'm convinced from that. I spent a lot of time studying the Harris data because I want to use some of that. And he's got about another 8 or 9 points he could drop if we cut him up. But that's the whole question. I mean, the whole point is that we've got to keep after him on the points that we cut.
Yeah. Well, good. Well, anyway, I know you've got it in mind.
Semlinger reports yesterday, Mr. President, that we came through last week again with flying colors.
Didn't lose much.
Didn't lose anything. Gained.
Nothing? I'll be damned.
And
well, we didn't have too bad a week, actually. We were not doing a hell of a lot, but...
But Semlinger's analysis...
But on the other hand, he was having problems again.
Yeah, he had problems and staff problems. Plus the fact, you really hit him hard with that work ethic.
What did Semlinger think that got through?
Yes, sir. And
the attack on welfare, in other words.
Yep, he thinks that the association of McGovern with welfare will kill him.
It's going to make that point, would you?
Oh, I intend.
Tell him everybody has got to hit welfare.
I intend to make that.
And don't say that family assistance is great. Just hit welfare.
Exactly right. No, don't talk about ours.
It's like when Rogers goes on the war, he shouldn't say, gee whiz, we're getting out and we're ending the war and we've withdrawn 500,000. That's fine for a college audience, but it isn't worth a damn for the average audience. Just attack him as a bit for, and Rams, incidentally, Chuck, don't let them drop Ramsey Clark now. They've got to go back to that again.
All right.
Don't you think so?
I do.
I think they got to go back to it. Ramsey Clark and the FBI.
Well, I think you use Ramsey Clark, you use Salinger, you use now Shays, and to paint these fellows as the kind of people who would...
The people around McGovern.
Yeah, that's right.
The people who are advising him, the people who have been making the foreign policy of this country.
Huh. Semlinger has an interesting point, Mr. President. Over the last day weekend, McGovern picked up a little steam during the polling of, and I'll make this point Tuesday, during the polling on Saturday and Sunday and Monday of the Labor Day weekend, he gained a little bit, not much. So did we, but he picked up a couple of points. We picked up a couple.
Well, he was getting positive. So
that's right.
Stories, you know, the press was pretty playing him for, like, fairly well.
He lost half of what he gained this week, and we kept gaining. So the present Sinlinger data shows us at 58, and McGovern at 23. So the point is that, as Sinlinger explained it, we had enough stuff flowing out this week where he was, where our stuff was coming through positively and his was not. And that's the key to it, that we've got another week under our belt where he hasn't been able to build any momentum. In fact, he slipped a little bit from the Labor Day weekend. So the whole key to this is just to keep him from gaining. If we keep him from gaining long enough, then the gap is so big he can't do anything about it.
Yeah.
And, that's the point we need to make to our people. Lou Harris, I talked to yesterday, Mr. President, and he said that the McGovern people have been calling him frantically. They've gotten wind of the fact that he has a poll coming out next week.
Oh?
And they've been, Cadell, his pollster, has been calling Lou.
Tell him to kill it?
No, he just wanted to find out about it.
Oh, well.
He was trying to find out about it.
Yeah, I was going to say, Harris never killed him for us. He won't kill it for them.
No. Oh, no, he will. Oh, hell no. He won't kill it. Don't worry. No, Lou wants to publish it. I mean, that's already out to the newspapers. I mean, it's in their hands, embargoed for next week. He would not kill it anyway. He wants to print it. But he made a trade with Cadell. He said, well, I'll tell you what's in it. He said to Cadell, provided you tell me how you fellows are doing in the polls, your polls. And Cadell said, well, so Lou told him what was coming out next week, which he said was like hitting him with a meat axe. And Cadell was really shaken about it, and then he said to Harris, however, well, I'm not too surprised. He said, we have just finished polling all of the big states, and he said, we find ourselves 30 to 35 points behind in all of the big states. That's in McGovern's own polls. So, you know, he really knows what's happening, and I think that accounts for the disarray internally. I mean,
what do you see? I noticed the Times said that McGovern thought he had a good week, and Post's writer sort of said it was sort of mixed or something like that. What is their feeling? Do they? Well, of course, they finally got their crowds going, and he's hitting all the time.
I don't think they got their crowds going.
You don't think so? Well, I just thinking of the Times.
Did you see the Times yesterday by any chance?
Oh, I didn't read it yet. No, I didn't see it. I just read the Sunday one now.
Well, the Times yesterday had a piece that I found incredible coming from the New York Times. Two pieces, two articles, one by Norton and one by Apple. And the Apple piece was the most interesting of all because it said candidate's heavy use of television is raising doubts about his strategy. And then it said in 48 hours he spoke to only two crowds worthy of the name, one in Dallas and one in Rockford, Illinois. Both were respectable, not overwhelming, perhaps 3,000 people each. Goes on to talk about
3,000, boy.
Yeah.
When I was a candidate, if we didn't have 10, they said it was a poor crowd.
Oh, sure. Well, they're saying it here.
As a candidate, not this year, but as a candidate.
Well, they're saying it here. They're saying that that he's trying a totally media-oriented campaign. That he went out to Iowa. He spent a total of 150 minutes there, a third of which was driving. He had a 40-minute visit to a single farm where a farmer sat there and read rehearsed lines for the TV cameras. They're painting this Apple piece, which to me is amazing, because Apple, of course, is a...
All out.
Oh, Christ. But he's cutting them up. He's saying that all he is doing so far is campaigning for the TV cameras. And,
pretty smart.
Is making a media-oriented campaign. Yeah, but they're painting him as being very superficial, Apple is. And Norton did damn near the same thing. Norton talked about how he was getting testy with the press, and... of course, that comes through in today's Times, I thought, also.
Does it? Yeah.
Yeah, the New York Times piece, where they talk about his press conference, and I don't have the thing here, but it was a comment about how he had to, I guess it was, as a matter of fact, it was in the Philadelphia paper. He was saying that the press were unfair to be challenging his credibility. He said, I deserve an A-plus on my credibility. And it's not fair for people to be challenging it. And he then went on and gave a detailed account of the Salinger thing all over again. Apparently the press are pressing him very hard on that. And he said, well, my original statement, he said, that really wasn't in error. He said, I just was trying not to, to upset things that I had done with Salinger. And, oh, geez, it sounds awful. When you read it, it sounds terrible. But I still think, Mr. President, he is very, very much on the defensive. And Evans and Novak this morning, I thought, did quite a job on him talking about the McGovern versus McGovern line. We had gotten it to him. They didn't use it quite that way, but they talk about how he shifted back and filled with various audiences. How his
You'll hit that to tell people in, on the debate thing, they hit McGovern versus McGovern, you hit that with a cabinet.
Well, I plan to use that. That's a, that's very powerful. Well, Evans and Novak have it today, and Bob Allen did a column just using all the quotes we gave him, which goes all out around the country through his syndicate.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting that used. We're getting beginning to get the points out, at least, in various ways in the column.
Mm-hmm.
One thing that's terribly interesting, I don't know how reliable this is, Mr. President, but because I don't know how trustworthy Gino Pucci is. I mean, I don't mean trustworthy. I don't know how.
I know.
I don't know how much he exaggerates, but
yeah.
He called me yesterday, and he said that Friday Hubert Humphrey called him and asked him to visit with him, which Gino did. And Humphrey said to him, Gino, I fully approve of what you're doing. And he said, I wish you would get some messages to the president for me. And he said to Gino, he said, I know you work through Conley, but he said, don't work through Conley on this. He said, go directly to the White House and asked if Gino had any entree to the White House. Pucci said he did. And he said, now there's four things the president should be doing that he's not doing. Five things he should be doing that he's not doing. And he said, I want you to get the message to him. And then he called him. It was about federal pay and Chicanos. Not very important stuff, really.
Chicanos.
A little bit on the feed grain question. And then he made the point about using the Democrats for Nixon Vice Chairman Moore as speakers. He talked about Mrs. Meyer and Mayor Malatester and Louis Welsh.
That's
and then
good.
He got all through the conversation. He said, now look, Gino, he said, you and I are the kind of people that are going to have to take over this Democratic Party after we get rid of this son of a bitch. And according to Pucci, used that term. He said, this fellow, he said, I've got to go out and make a few speeches in October. But he said, I'm not going to do anything this month. He said, I'm too busy helping Mondale. Which, and then he laughed like hell when he said that. And he said, this fellow makes my stomach turn. He said, this fellow turns my stomach. And he said, we've got to get those kooks out of the Democratic Party. Now that's, as I say, I have my doubts about Pucci. Maybe he's a typical Italian.
Maybe a lot of his own stuff in there, but maybe there's some of it there. That's true.
Well, I don't think he would tell me that Humphrey had asked him to get this message through him. Humphrey had, because he would figure it'd be too easy for us to go back to Humphrey and, and verify it. But and as a matter of fact, Pucci said to me, he said, if you know Humphrey, he said, why don't you talk to him? Because he said he's quite open about this. So I don't think he was kidding me about the conversation.
Sure, sure.
He may have been enlarging it a bit, but very interesting. But
well, they are, these people are all really pretty worried about their situation. But their whole line is attack, and if we can just get Dole and et al. And all of them out and a good attack line, you're going to, a lot of the cabinet won't want to do that. They all think positively, you know, they think that's what makes news, but in a camp, it's fine to be positive up to the election, but in an election, you just got to just kick the shit out of the other side.
Well, that's
particularly now.
That is so. It is so provable.
Isn't that true?
In this campaign, how important that is. I mean, it's so evident from the results thus far, Mr. President.
Yeah.
I've got one chart that will, I think, will shake up the cabinet. That shows where this fellow was going. Simlinger's polling, at least right after the convention, he was starting up. And the composition of his vote was, he was beginning to enlarge upon his base, and then he had the Eagleton affair and Salinger and Ramsey Clark, when we just kicked hell out of him on Ramsey Clark for a week there, if you remember. And then we hit him hard on welfare, and hell, he's back now. He is back now to the same level of support that he had at the time of the California primary. Well, what that proves is that if you keep making him stumble and keep pressing him on issues, that he cannot enlarge his hard core. And his hard core is 25% of the...
And I do not buy the line that Mike Mansfield trying to peddle with people with our people that don't make him a martyr and all that sort of stuff. I think the martyrdom business doesn't fit him.
It doesn't. He doesn't engender sympathy. He doesn't.
He doesn't wear that cloak nicely. Doesn't fit him.
If he were that kind of a fellow, then you'd have a different story. But he's not. He is strident. Of course, the harsher his rhetoric is, the more difficult it will be for him to ever gain any sympathy votes. I mean, the way Shriver and he talk, my God, if he really tried to keep this saintly campaign appearance that he had in April and May, then we might run into the risk of martyring him. But when he's going around to Shriver calling you a reformed drunk and power mad, he likening you to Hitler, hell, there's no way you can martyr this fellow.
Yeah.
Fella cannot be martyred when he's talking that way.
That's right.
He's too radical and strident in his own in his own image.
Right.
I thought your trip yesterday was a masterstroke, Mr. President. Just brilliant.
Well, it's we had a very good local reception. We certainly, that's why we did it actually for that purpose.
Oh sure. Well, it's bannering the Philadelphia papers here.
Yeah.
And a very good story and Shap madder than hell, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Titch deserves it. But the photograph outside the church that's in the Philadelphia paper, a little different one in the New York Times, but it's a very good picture, and I think the story reads extremely well. And the TV, network TV last night was excellent. Excellent footage. I mean, that's too bad it was a Saturday, because it was...
Oh, that's all right. We didn't need it. We just had to be out doing a little something.
Well, it was a good story.
Yeah. Incidentally, one thing I noticed here is a call suggested to Mark Spitz, and it said his coach said it was my call. I'm just not sure that that's something I ought to do. We could really get a turn down there.
Well.
And I just don't know whether it's worth it. I think you can invite him to the White House. That's for damn sure.
You think we should?
Oh, hell yes.
Yeah.
I mean, but if I call him and then he decides to go out for the other side, that is bad as hell. You see my point?
Yes, sir.
I just don't think it's worth it.
My feeling was that you should not call him if he was going to be invited into the White House. But if he was not invited into the White House, then I would call him. In other words, I think I put on there, call only if he's not going to be invited.
Yeah. Yeah, well, my own feeling is that, of course, he's in California, isn't he? So I think that's where he's from, yeah.
I think he is, yes, sir.
But I just don't know about his coach apparently wants us to call, and he's a friend. But, I don't know.
I watched him on television the other night, Mr. President. I don't know whether he's a mixed-up kid in the sense that his comments were all over the place. I mean, he was not talking very coherently.
Mm-hmm.
Almost looked a little bit like he was on dope, except I know he isn't. He couldn't run in the races, but... He couldn't swim if he were, but he's a bit of a folk hero with some people, and
Well,
I think if you have some of the medal winners in, then that's safe, because providing he checks out, isn't it?
I don't know if you have to even do that, but nevertheless, we'll see. We'll see. You know, we can.
Well, Bobby Fischer, I think maybe has more. Maybe there's more.
Well, we know he's with us.
Yeah, and there's almost more payoff on it. My God, he's become so well known from that.
Yeah, it lasted so long.
That gets the Jews the same way that Spitz.
Well, hell, we've got as much of that as we're going to get, and it'll slough off now.
I think that's right. We are getting probably just as much.
Right. I'll think about it.
The other thing that I picked up yesterday that may be of some interest, Gammon called. He had studied this Gallup data that's out today, and he said, based on this and the Lou Harris data, which he's seen, he said it's his opinion that that there is no gain on the McGovern side, that no return of the natives, as he put it, labor Catholics, stronger than ever with us. And he said all of this fighting this week inside of McGovern's campaign, he said it's like the last chapter in the last hurrah. He said it's a sign of real decay, and it's something that's endemic in a losing campaign. And he said, his purpose in calling, he said, I've just been studying this stuff, and I wanted to tell you, he said, keep the fight up, because you've got this guy going right down where you want him.
Right. Good.
Great.
You know, the interesting thing here is that on these troubles that he had in the campaign, the Thompson, that was all adequately played in the press, was it? Played. They all played it, did they?
Oh, yes, sir. Yes, no, that was, in fact, the Thompson story was, to my great surprise, was front page every place I've seen it printed. I've seen it reported. And it was very well played on television. Yeah, he got quite a jolt out of that one. The interesting thing to me is that CBS this week gave him quite a good ride. I thought gave McGovern quite a good ride.
Sure.
Overall. Yeah, but it hasn't had an impact. And at least if you believe that Simling or Dotter, it hasn't helped him. And it may be that this fellow just doesn't come through. I mean, the amount of exposure may not be the determining factor. He may not have that personal.
What may be is that what people say about him, which is the way people knew him prior during his primaries, what is fanatically pro-McGovern people say about him in the press, is better than the people seeing him in person.
Yes.
In our case, it's exactly the other way around.
Exactly.
What they say about us is so bad that if they see us in person, we do better.
That's correct.
And if we just let it go too long without being seen in person, they kill us. Right. Now, there's the difference.
Yeah, that's right. And we've known, Mr. President, right along, that it's the people make their judgments based on what they see.
That's right.
And what they think.
Right.
And from what they see. Not from what
right.
they
see. Well, anyway, you enjoy that nice day up in Princeton.
Well, we'll be coming back this afternoon and back
good.
In it. But,
good. Well, anyway, you deserve a few hours off. Okay.
Well, I just had to be sure my son wasn't
right
in the hands of the radicals, and he isn't.
Not yet. Okay.
He's a good conservative. Thank you, Mr.